Tonight, the title of the message is Faith Born Out of Love. Faith born out of love. If we're going to make faith, make our house faith strong, we must make its foundation strong. And the foundation of faith is love. The kingdom of God has been damaged by people who have heard the faith message once and have run off with it without knowing what they were doing or how to use it. Use what they have heard. Before long, they came crashing down and didn't understand why. Now, a lot of this is excerpts from Brother Hagin. This is Brother Hagin was teaching this many years ago. That even in the faith message, where we're missing it, we're not walking in the God kind of love. But nobody was teaching the God kind of love. And so therefore, God has begun to move us into this vein and to discover it is one of the most important teachings we could ever have.
Amen.
You master this, and I promise you, your days of failure are over. We can make all the confessions we want, Brother Hagin said. We can quote the Bible day and night. We can fast and pray, and we still won't get anything if we're not walking in love. The word says faith works by love. But if we're not walking in love, our faith simply will not work. Okay, now, sometimes we think that we have to be perfect before God will move for us. But those thoughts come from our unrenewed mind and from the enemy. And nothing could be further from the truth. What we must accomplish in order for God to be able to move in our lives is to first lose our fear. This is Christians' biggest problems. If I were to say cancer right now, everybody goes, ooh, don't say cancer. We shouldn't be afraid like that.
Amen.
Now, I respect cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking that lightly. Mm-hmm. But we should not be in terror of it. It should not make us, ooh. Because why? That's fear. And there's no fear in love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. We simply need a revelation of the God kind of love. Because love dispels fear, which results in confidence and peace. If anything the church needs to walk in more than anything else, it's the peace of God through the love of God. Faith isn't based or born out of our goodness or perfection. So we're talking about love and faith here. Faith is not born out of our goodness or our perfection. It's not based on what you can do, is what I'm saying here. It's not based on your effort. It's born out of love. No matter how good you have been, you can't come to God on the basis of your merits. You can't go to God and say, God, I prayed for the last 5 days. He's like, well, it's good you prayed. But what do you mean by that statement? See, I've had people say, well, Pastor Craig, I've been praying in tongues. I've been meditating, assimilating. I've been fasting. I've been doing all these things. And my mountains still don't move. What's wrong? You're in works. When you ask me that question, you are telling me you are in works.
Amen.
Because if you weren't in works, you'd be saying, Pastor, I know, I sense my mountains are moving. I don't feel like they're moving. They're getting bigger and bigger, it appears like. But I know, according to the word of God, my mountains are moving.
Amen.
See, that's real Bible faith. Real Bible faith isn't you begin to speak to a mountain and thinking, why isn't it moving? That's not Bible faith. Bible faith is that you sticking with it until the mountain moves. Jesus said these words, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart, that mountain shall obey you. Now question, what is the proof of your faith? Not a trick question. The mountain moves. If the mountain don't move, you ain't got no faith. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. If you're not in faith, the mountain don't move. So you may say, well, Pastor, why did my mountain move? Because you weren't in faith. Faith is a law. What does that mean? It means it works every single time. If I were to let go of this device in my hand, what's going to happen to it? Well, let me try. How about the next time? What's going to happen to it? Why does it always do that? The law of gravity. It's a law. It always works. Faith is more of a perfected law than gravity is. It'll work every single time. So what I want to do is begin to work tonight on helping you getting your faith perfected so that when you begin to speak and you begin to command and demand, these things, your mountains, your circumstances will line up with the Word of God. Not because I said them, but because of what Jesus has already done. It's not what I'm preaching that changes your circumstances. It's what he did on the cross. I'm trying to get over to you that it's a fact. This is why we encourage you to spend time praying in tongues. Robert just read that prophecy or that current day speaking. And what it's saying is praying in tongues begin to tap into who God is. You begin to draw on his resources instead of your own. You're giving God your authority to begin to invade your life and begin to turn it whichever way he chooses. The heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it. You're kings.
Hallelujah.
And if you'll yield yourself, he'll turn your life the way he needs to.
Amen.
Now, initially, you may think, I don't really want to go this way, but it's the right way, I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, the way that you're on, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end therein is destruction. There are many Christians on the wrong way. It seems right, but it's wrong. And they're wondering, why do my mountains move? Because there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end therein is destruction. I'm going to teach you a message in a couple of days or in a couple of weeks on what do you do when your faith doesn't work. Oh, it's a good one. Because it happened to me recently. But I can tell you this. The testimony sits here right now today. Healed in 2 weeks.
Amen.
Healed.
Amen.
You don't give up. That your faith doesn't stop because you didn't get what you wanted the first time.
Right.
Even though I didn't see the results that I was anticipating. That arm being, that wrist being healed. The day I went back in there, it didn't happen that way. But when I came back in, when we went back in today, when they took that cast off, I knew in my heart, it's healed. I knew when I first, and the Holy Spirit said, be quiet, you're not a doctor. Don't say anything. But I heard in my heart, it's healed.
Amen.
That thing was as straight as an arrow.
Woo.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Now what my wife didn't anticipate was, boy, she went through some tough nights.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The enemy was trying to take that from her.
Mm-hmm.
But faith stays on the job.
Amen. Yes, it does.
But that faith is born out of love.
Yes.
It's not what I'm doing. It's what he's already done.
Amen.
You know what my job was? You know where I missed it before? Oh, I got this, God. I got this, God. I know I got this locked. I know it is healed. You say, okay. All right, Mr. Smarty Pants. Well, he showed me something. It's what who he is. It's what he has already done.
Amen.
Well, this time, I spent my time fellowshipping and communion with him. God, I thank you. That wrist is healed. I give you praise. She's a new creation in Christ. You didn't create her with a bad wrist. You didn't do that. You gave her a new one. So that wrist is healed now. I don't care what the doctor said. It's healed now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. See, it wasn't my work. It's what he did. Amen. Oh, man, let me get back on my message here. I'm running. I'm losing my time. We don't come to God based on our merits. If my good works can't gain me access to the Father, now get this. If my good works can't gain me access to the Father, then my faults can't deny me access either. Oh, you ought to have been shouting right there. When I heard that, I don't have to be perfect. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how bad they criticize me. I don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
I may not talk as plain and as eloquent as you do. I don't have to be perfect. Don't have to be. Because my faults don't deny me access to him no more than your eloquent speech gained you any access to him either. Shout me down when I'm preaching real good. Oh, Pastor Craig, that's Jesus. Pastor, go, Pastor. Yeah, thank you, sir. Bam. I hear you. Glory to God. Let me get on with this. My access is gained purely by the love and the grace which he bestowed upon me in Christ Jesus. He did that before I was born again, when I was still walking in darkness. Folks, don't get discouraged where you are. You're in the best place right now. Not here at Dominion Training Center, but because you begin to understand who he truly, truly, truly is in your life. And if you get off this broad way and get on the narrow way, if you get off the way that seems right to a man, but if you get on the way that may not seem like the shortcut, and begin to spend your time with him every single day. Not because we're telling you to, but because in your heart, you know it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
Nobody had to tell me when I heard this message. Nobody had to go in and say, now, you didn't pray today. No. I was upset when I didn't pray. And God was okay with that. You know, he wasn't looking at me at how many times I prayed. He was looking at my heart. Are you determined or are you playing games? I wasn't playing games because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick of you. I was. Because I didn't have the love of God in my heart. Well, many times you don't either. You don't love me because he talks too loud. He's from the country. He don't act refined. Well, what makes you better than me? God doesn't have any favorites. My picture is on his mantle. He just showed Gabriel my picture to him 5 times today. Gabriel said, Jesus, I've seen it 5 times. We look at it again. Ain't he a good, that's my son there.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. So it doesn't matter to me whether you think I'm all that in a bag of Cheetos. It doesn't matter. I've gotten over you. Why? The love of God. The love of God. The love of God.
Amen.
It's the God kind of love that's in me. And see, we haven't taught this message right. We didn't know much about this message. But man, God has really revealed it to us in these last days. Why? Because he understands what we're up against. We're in for some hard times, ladies and gentlemen. What you're seeing in other countries, what you see happening over in London, what you saw happening in what was that, D.C., Maryland, where they shut out that baseball team or whoever it was. Some Republicans were practicing a softball game where they were doing something, and this sniper began to start shooting at them. Y'all didn't hear about that?
Yeah, sure.
What country y'all live in? y'all live in, y'all do have a computer, right? But I'm telling you, it's perilous times.
Amen.
And the only thing that's going to save you is going to be the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart.
That's right.
Because your perfect love will cast out all fear. Amen.
Amen.
We tend to think that fighting our faults is the way to change. It's not. Quit attacking your faults. I see everybody, I got to get a tummy tuck. I got to get a facelift. I got to get an augmentation. Not going to say where. I got to have all this stuff so I can look good. That's not your problem.
Amen.
If I could just dress a certain way, I could be. That's not your problem.
Amen.
If I could change this about me, that's not your problem.
Amen.
You are attacking your faults. You are pursuing the way that seems right to a man, but that end is destruction.
Amen.
You will not get what you want. And then you'll go. You'll have the audacity to go, God, why didn't you let this happen to me? God's not allowing anything to happen to you. We tend to think that fighting our faults is what will change us and draw us closer to God, but it will not. Why? Because he's not a physical being. He's a spirit. We draw close to him with our hearts because faith is of the heart and not of our flesh. When we draw close to God in our heart, especially through communion and fellowship, here's what we will receive: his strength and his life. How many have ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10? How many know what it says? Well, let me give you a hint. It's Paul's thorn in the flesh. And if you get a chance, he didn't put the scriptures up there tonight, but if you get a chance, go over there and read that. And then, no, it's 2 Corinthians. Did I say first? I'm sorry. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. And I can read this real quick if he can't find them. Unless, this is Paul talking, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Paul was receiving revelation from God. And he was coaching the church. He was teaching the church. Telling them what love was and how they can overcome. And how to commune and fellowship with God and so on and so forth. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn in the flesh? It tells you right after that. The messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. Can we get over this? It was his eyes going bad. He must have had some disease. No, it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet you. Let me give you a hint. You're going to get one too if you ain't had one recently. They are an equal opportunity harassers. I don't know why this stuff is happening to me. Get the thumb out your mouth, grow up, and begin to spend time with God. I'm not saying that in an ugly way. I'm just saying that in a way to say, come on, straighten up here. Lest I should be exalted above measure, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. God, take this off of me. Now, why couldn't Paul say that, but you can? Because God had already told Paul, you're going to suffer these things for my sake. When you get to heaven, ask God why. There's a distinction between you and Paul, but God was telling Paul, this is what you're going to go through. You know what the things he was suffering with? Shipwrecked. Feet being put in stocks and every bone broken in his feet 3 times. He was stoned 4 or 5 times or 3 or 4 times. He was whipped 3 or 4 times. I don't know the numbers, but each one. But my point is, this is what he was saying. God, I'm preaching the gospel. Why is all this stuff happening to me? I'm doing what you're calling. Why is all this happening to me? Isn't that what you say? Don't shut me down now. You know I'm coming home with this tonight. You know that this is hitting right on target. But now watch this. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that they might depart from me. Watch what Jesus says to Paul. He said to me, this is Jesus, is in red. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, many of you have read that and you don't understand that, what that means. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody know exactly what that means? Let me see your hand. Okay, what does it mean?
It means I don't have to worry. I lay everything on him because he's the one beside me.
Not quite, but you're close. Go ahead.
Well, it says, when I'm weak and I'm truly strong.
Well, that's what it says, but what does it mean?
Right, on our own strength, we can't do anything.
Right.
We have to depend on him.
Okay. Boy, you're getting closer. Now, so how do I exchange the strength? How do I exchange my weakness for your strength?
You have to die.
No. Okay, stop. Let's don't go any further. Let's stop. Most gladly, therefore, I will what? He tells you right here. This is how I exchange my weakness for his strength. He's telling you right here. Therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. What is that? That's communion and fellowship. That's all it is. You got this test and trial. God, help me. No. You're in the flesh now. Father, I give you praise. I worship you and magnify you.
Yes.
By his stripes, I'm already healed. I have to beg you to heal me. You are a faithful God. I give you praise. What am I doing? I'm exchanging my weaknesses for his strength.
Amen.
Communion and fellowship. It's that simple. But it's a truth that the church has never picked up on. We need to start picking up on it. We need to realize. See, when that the doctor said, we got to do a surgery. Man, right after that surgery, boy, I got in there and I said, I give you praise. That's my wife. That's your daughter. I'll give you praise. She's already healed. I ain't got to beg you to heal her. She's already healed. And just because you love her, she's already healed. Now, my job from this point on is to bring her weaknesses and exchange it for your strength. And how do I do that? I give you praise.
Yes.
I give you glory.
Amen.
I give you honor. Why? I can't heal nobody.
Yeah.
I couldn't heal a gnat of a headache. But when I exchange his weakness, my weaknesses, for his strength, oh, now we got, now the playing field just been leveled.
Mm-hmm.
Just been leveled.
Said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong.
That's what we're talking about. You're exchanging your weaknesses. The weaknesses, I have an infirmity in my flesh. The weaknesses is I'm feeling sorry for myself. The weaknesses is I don't have enough income. That's my weakness. But when I come to him and give him praise, I thank you what you've already done. Jesus became poor that I through your poverty might be made rich. I'm exchanging my weaknesses for his strength. I'm exchanging my poorness, my poverty, for his opulence. Come on, somebody. That's how I do that. I don't go, oh, God, you see, I got this financial problem. Oh, God, no. I get a bill in the mail, and I can't pay it. Father, I've been getting some in the mail because of the insurance, because of what's going on. But here's the thing. I don't get them and go, oh, Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, what you doing here? No. Father, I give you praise. When it comes time to pay this bill, you are providing a way. You're going to make it available, make the funds available for me to pay all these things when they're due. I give you praise. He became poor that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Hallelujah. Well, you don't thank him that you can't do it. You thank him that he's already done it for you.
Amen.
See, don't focus on the negative. Focus on what he's doing.
Amen.
Leave the negative behind.
Yes.
Completely behind.
Amen.
Don't come to him saying, well, now, you know, I got this situation. When I had a heart problem. When you know, I got this atrial fibrillation. That's not what I told him. I said, when I was born again, you gave me a perfect heart. So I give you praise. My heart's perfect right now.
Amen.
I never said anything about having a bad heart. Why? He already knows that.
Right.
What he's trying to get me to do is change my weaknesses for his strength.
Amen.
So I don't mention my weaknesses to him at all.
Amen.
He didn't put me in that condition.
Right.
The Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. The reason why I pray is not because poor Ellen can be healed. No, the kingdom has been violated. I'm in the kingdom. The enemy has assaulted me. God don't like that. He said, listen, when God was talking to those disciples, he says, suffer not these little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. You don't think he was just talking to them? He was talking to El Diablo too. Don't you touch my children. Don't you put your hand on them. They're mine. And I'll take care of them. He drew a line. He's saying no. But now here's the deal. We get out there and going, I'll bind you. I'll cast you out. I command you to go. Now, I have nothing wrong with that. If that's all you're doing, you ain't doing enough. Because you keep regurgitating the problem. You don't regurgitate the problem. What you do is you accentuate who you are in him.
Amen.
That's the important thing. What you're going through is not important.
That's right.
It's what he is while you're going through that.
Amen.
Oh, gosh, I got to get on with this. But listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro in the fiery furnace. Listen, Jesus came into that fiery furnace. He didn't go in and go, I got to put the fire out. No. You know why he didn't? Because he's king of the fire. And he walked him out of there. And he'll walk you out of it too. Why? 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 Praise be unto God who always, always, always causes us to triumph.
Amen.
Always.
Hallelujah.
It didn't say he took you out of the problem. Well, Pastor, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you, such as common to man. But God is faithful with the temptation. Make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. Go back and study that. He doesn't take you out of the situation. He shows you a way out. Man, I could preach like this all night. I am having so much fun. If I was you, I'd be running around this building. If I was here for the first, I'd be like, I'm free, glory to God. I hope this recording doesn't come out bad because I am getting too excited. Through communion and fellowship with him throughout the day, we stay and draw ourselves, or we keep ourselves on the narrow path as we draw closer and closer to him. So I'm walking down the hallway where I work, and I'm going, I just give you praise. She's already healed. I thank you. She's healed. I give you praise that she's healed. You're not trying to heal her. She's already healed. And I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I worship you for it. Do I do that 5 or 6 times an hour? No. But whenever I think about it, I do it. I'm not in works. I'm in grace. I'm in peace. I'm in joy. I'm in love. I'm in happiness. I'm enjoying this thing, man. Because when I saw that cast come up, I went, yes, he healed. Perfectly straight. Why? Because he's real. It may take us a while to learn this, but we will eventually realize that the only reason we fail at something is because we attempt to do it on our own power. In our own power. Flesh is right, Pastor. You're preaching now. So we must simply decide to quit doing things in our own strength. I gotta fix this problem. I gotta quit this bad behavior. You know, my biggest problem when I came into the business world, you know what they told me my biggest problem was? You talk too loud. Well, at first it didn't bother me. I didn't care. I was taught to speak up so you can be heard. So I talk loud. Well, when I got in the business world, they didn't appreciate that. Especially when I got in church. You talk too loud. Okay. Well, you know what I started doing? I became very cognizant of it. You know what God told me? Son, I made you this way. I made you this way. Quit focusing on it and give it to me. Now, what I had to understand was there are some times I don't want to be loud. And I had to learn that. But see, when someone's pointing out your negative points to you, you don't realize that. But God can show you those things. So see, you have to turn off all your friends sometimes. You got to turn off sometimes your supervisors. You got to turn off the people that think they know more than you about yourself. And it's where you got to get along with God and say, now, God, you tell me what's the real deal is. Because he told me, son, there's nothing wrong with you. What they're offended by is your confidence and the authority that you have in a lot of things. And it threatens them. Amen. He says, so you want to tone it down a little bit so they don't think that you're this know-it-all. Well, once I heard that, I began to become cognizant of it. And I began to give him praise. And I began to change. But there's sometimes when he say, let it rip, sonny. Yeah. And that's like tonight. He don't go, shh, you might wake somebody up in there. He didn't tell me that. He didn't tell me that. See, the way you shout me down, just don't show up next week. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Don't come back. How many pastors you ever heard say that? I'm going to say it. You don't want to come? Don't come back. He brings the people here who he wants here.
That's right.
I don't do any advertising on Facebook or any other media, and not going to. Amen. He'll fill the room up. And I'm going to tell you something. One day, you're going to come in this room, and you're going to go, there ain't no seats in the house. Amen. You're going to go, I got to get here a little bit early. And we're going to say, yeah. Now, we can put an overflow room in there if you need to. You can go in there and listen to me talk. Okay. But you mark my words. I serve him. He will fill this room up, not because I'm trying to be in the book of Numbers. He'll fill the room because he's got people that are hurting and hungry, and they want this message. And if you don't want to hear it, leave the seat for somebody else. It don't bother me at all. You notice we don't do a hard pull on offering time. We don't want your money. You know what? When you plop your tithe into your church that you go to, you're probably not getting the benefit that you should be getting out of it anyway because you're doing it out of obligation. Don't shout me down. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, not someone that goes, oh, it's tithe time. Oh, gosh, here goes that 10% again. Now, here's the flip side of that. If I give 10%, nothing's going to happen to me. My bills will be paid. I won't be laid off. Oh, I think my finances will grow. Then you get a pink slip and go, God, what's up? What's going on? See, you turn tithe into a legal work.
Yeah.
And not an act of love.
Yeah.
You've turned it into a legal work and not an act of love. That's what he was trying to teach them in the Old Testament. But here's the thing about tithing in the Old Testament. They couldn't hear him like you can. You want to know the best way to tithe? Is get off from under all that. And begin to go, God, I'll do the 10%. But I'm believing you, I can do 30% and 40% and 50% and 100%.
Amen.
That's the way the church should tithe.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because you love him.
That's right.
Not because you're obligated to give.
Amen.
That may run half the crowd off tonight, but that's okay. Waiting on God is not an act of sitting around and doing nothing. Rather, it is resting in his presence, confident of his love, which has been nurtured through spending time with him. This can be done through prayer, worship, meditating on his word, especially the scriptures concerning your specific situations. So now listen to what I'm saying about this. Don't take a verse and begin to quote it over and over again. Make it into a love song. I thank you. I give you praise. You became poor, so that I, through your poverty, might be made rich. You came, you saw me in my poverty, and you decided to give up your opulence in heaven. I just want to thank you for that. There's no greater love than a man has that he'll lay down his life for a friend. You really love me. You really love me. I don't have to question your love because you died on that cross.
Oh, amen.
I can't question your love for me.
Yes.
Now, when you start talking to God that way, all of a sudden, you have more than an audience of heaven. You got everything you need, sister. Now, let me tell you this. You start talking that way, here's what's going to happen. This is the devil. You really think God loves you? God don't love you, man. He thinks you are terrible. And you start listening to that nonsense. You know what you do? You quit worshiping God. Your flesh, you get up in the morning and you say, we're going to the prayer closet this morning. And your flesh goes, oh, no, not this morning. It's too early. Go back to bed. Much too early for me. When you start talking that way, just watch your flesh. But here's how you handle your flesh. You ought to say, flesh, shut up. Just like that. Flesh, I said, shut up. I'm going in here. I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to worship him, and you're not taking nothing from me. Do you get that?
Amen.
And go in there and just get after it.
Amen.
That's how you spend time with God. Don't allow your flesh to go, well, it's you got up too late. You don't have time. There will always be something going on if you keep listening to that kind of thing. Amen? Listen to this. The door is always open to come in and fellowship with him. Listen. No matter how bad you think you've missed it, there's always a chance for him to correct everything that's going wrong. No matter how bad things are going wrong in your life, he can turn it around. No matter how far you think you've ran an abrupt pitch course, he can turn it. That's who he is. But you're not going to do it addressing your faults. You're going to do it by addressing who he is. Now let me talk to husbands and wives. Your wife is not the problem. Your husband ain't the problem. The problem is your flesh. Don't shut me down now when I'm preaching real good. When you get in your prayer closet and you begin to go, Father, I give you praise. Father, I worship you. You love me. Because you love me, I'm going to love that woman in there. I'm going to love that bald-headed man in there. I'm going to love him just because of who you are.
Amen.
You start doing that, and your flesh will start going, ah. It'll start cowering down.
Amen.
It'll start backing off. Now, it'll make a run at you again. Because they'll come and they'll say something, blah, 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 and you go, see that, Lord, I want to tell you about that person. You know what you do? You back up again, and you go, flesh, I said, shut up. And you begin to give him praise, and you begin to love on him. Why? Quit focusing on the infirmity. Quit focusing on the problem. Focus on him. Focus on him through communion and fellowship. God knows exactly where we are and where we have come from. This is called grace. Grace will always turn it around for you, but you've got to spend time with him. He's not looking at the times we stumble. Rather, he's looking at our heart and the progress that we have made. He is looking at our desire to do what is right, even when our flesh seems to be overpowering us. He knows and understands that our life is a process, is a growing process. Our Father is more concerned about us personally than he is about what we can do for the kingdom of God. He wants our fellowship more than anything else, because out of the fellowship, out of the seeking of his person, his presence, his peace, and his love, will come the strength that we need to conform to everything that he has for us. Can it be any simpler said than that? Everything you need will come out of your communion and fellowship with him. Man, when I heard these words, I went, the gospel is as simple as it gets. It's good news, too good to be true.
Amen.
It is just that simple. The result being more conscious, we become more conscious of him and less conscious of ourselves, and all until the old man begins to fade away.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 14:26 says this, that the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a place of worship, reverence, and fellowship with him around his word through the Spirit. So find out what your problem is. Pinpoint it. Go find out where it's written. And then begin to make it into a worship, into a praise, into a fellowship,
Amen.
Into a love song to him. Give him praise. Give him praise. Father, I thank you. I praise you and glorify you. I may not be where I need to be, but I'm right on target because I'm in love with you. And I want you to grow me more and more and more. I want to grow more and more in your love.
Yes,
James 4:8 says, as we humble ourselves and continue to draw nigh to him, he will continue to draw nigh to us.
Mm.
Now, next week, I'm going to pick up here called Pursuing Agape. Mm. See, the love of God is what produces the faith of God.
Really?
If you don't have the love of God right, you can learn all the ABCs of faith. But until you learn the ABCs of love, your faith will not prevail. It will not prevail. The Bible says this in Ephesians. It says, faith works by love. You're not going to get around it. This is why we're studying love. And then guess where we're headed next? Faith. It'll just fall right into place. How many of you know what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says? It says, yet I show you a more excellent way. That's the end of 12. And 12 goes into chapter 13. And it says this, though I speak with the tongues of angels, and I have all faith to move all mountains. See, this is the kind of guy you want at the keynote speaker at your conference. You know? I have all kind of faith and yet don't have nothing. I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And you know, he just told you about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, so he's really crossing out what he just said about covet the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Now go on to chapter 13. If you can pull up, go to 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. What he's saying there is this. He's not saying that praying in tongues is not the thing to do. What he's saying is this. How many of you know people in church? They can shout a mata motor bada bada kashikata better than the rest of us. Than any of us. But they're backbiters, they're haters, they're dividers, they will run you down. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I still am a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What he's saying is, what he's not saying is this. If I spend time praying in tongues every day, honey, you can't remain a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Go to verse 2. Let me make sure I exhausted this. And though I have the gift of prophecy, like I said, this is the guy, the keynote speaker at the next conference. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so I can remove mountains and have not charity, he's nothing. Pastor Craig, I know a guy. He can prophesy. Man, he's got faith. Man, he just flows in the gifts of the Spirit. I got one question for you. Just one. How was his love walk? How was his love walk? Don't shout me down now. How was his love walk? This is what Brother Hagin was trying to tell us then. He was saying, he was talking to preachers. He's saying, preachers, you need to go back and read this. Just because you got a 40,000 square foot mansion, just because you got 5 Rolls Royce parked in the parking lot, just because you got servants and maids, just because you had a bank full of money, you are sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal because you don't have love. Don't shout me down now. I didn't preach this. I didn't make this up. The Bible did. Folks, love is what we're going to pursue. It's what the church needs now to overcome these things that we're going through.